Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the radio show with Cindy Sharp.
Cindy Sharp.
You know the girl. She's all heart.
So full of heart.
She got your back.
Yeah.
Helping you to let go of the lack.
Let go of that lack.
Yeah. That's what sharpening your spirit radio is for. Okay, sharpening your spirit radio is here to say, accept yourself and heal others starting today. It's your home. Sharpening your spirit radio is here to say, accept yourself and heal others.
Well, accept yourself and heal others starting today, and we have a beautiful show for you. Hi, everybody. This is your host and your coach, Cindy Sharp, and we have a beautiful, amazing messenger today that is going to be sharing with us her examined life, and we cannot wait to invite her on. Her name is Corby McLeod. You may have heard of her. She's definitely a mystic and definitely has something very special to share with you to open your heart today to maybe examine your life a little bit more. But before we get to that, let me share with you a little bit about the Sharpening Your Spirit radio show and podcast. As you know, I'm a spiritual business coach that helps spiritual healers and people that are enlightened and have a loving message to get their message out in a bigger and better and more loving way. And one of those ways is right here on the Sharpening Your Spirit, The Messengers Show. We also have another show during the week, which is called 15 Minutes to Thrive to Keep Your Spiritual Business Alive. It's where you get quick, fast, down, dirty, but good love and advice to help you grow your spiritual business and get your message out there in a way that helps love others and a way that you can love and accept yourself. So that is all you need to know about the Sharpening Your Spirit radio show. But what you need to know today is about the amazing gal that we have here today. Her name is Corby McLeod. She has been a mystic and on a path for over 40 years, meeting challenges, always questioning, leading the examined life. It's provided her an essential cosmic truth. God gives all of us what we need for a life filled with miracles and joy. And as long as our hearts are open, whole, and aligned with our source energy, everything is possible. Corby knows what it's like to live a life on a roller coaster with no breaks. She survived divorce, abuse, poverty, and life-threatening illness, always maintaining her strength, her courage, and boy, I love this, her humor. We have opportunities. Here we go. We have opportunities we can go after and challenges to get past, she says firmly. As a three-time breast cancer survivor, I learned firsthand, my job is to give you the tools and the courage to deal with both situations. Everything else is free will and up to you. Now that sounds like an amazing life to hear about. So let's invite her on. Corby, thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Cindy.
You have such an interesting backstory, and you, out of this story and this life that you have lived, this amazing testament to somebody that is extremely strong and certainly moves through things in a very unique way, because you've been able to keep yourself always on the path of joy and being open. And so can you tell a little bit about, you know, how this kind of examined life first kind of came up for you?
Sure. I was not born this smart. I had to learn it the hard way. When I explain to people between your pre-birth planning and your free will, what I explain is your pre-birth planning is like choosing your college major. You're going to get a history degree. But free will is, are you going to do it by taking gut courses or deciding to do double major plus lab. And I was not particularly self-aware for a long time, so it was double major plus lab. Spirit kept whacking me on side the head and saying, "You learned yet? You learned yet? Oh, no, you haven't learned. Well, let's do it again." Everything came together in 2004. I had had my first dance with cancer in 1989 when I was acting in New York. I was in my mid-30s, vegetarian at that point, no record of it in the family. That was four lumpectomies and radiation, and they were scarred and they were misshapen, but they were still there. Second bout was in 2000, skin cancer directly attributable to the radiation. More surgery, more scars, more misshapen, but they were there. About 18 months after I finally married the guy I'd been looking for but didn't know it, I got a second primary. And the doctor said, "Three strikes, you're out, kid. We're going to take you from this Dolly Parton lookalike figure and the libido of a 17-year-old boy to a fire plug with no libido, and we're going to really have to damage you internally so you can kiss goodbye any normal marital relations. Suck it up." Did I go home and cry for about 24 hours? Yes. But in the 80s, I had learned how to do the examined life from a great place called the Option Institute in Massachusetts, and I said the first thing, okay, this is going to happen. So I need to find some reasons to be okay with it, if not absolutely happy about it. And I didn't care how dumb they were. So the first thing I figured out was, okay, you don't have them. You can't get cancer there. This is a good thing. They're not going to get slammed in the refrigerator door at the doctor's twice a year for a mammogram. That's another good thing. Implants? Cool. Means I'll be perky till I'm 93. I can handle that. To the point where, when I was there for the six-hour operation, I was hepped up on Versed and fentanyl, and that cocktail really does put you at the corner of left field and Space Cadet. So I looked at the actual oncology surgeon, and I said to him, "You got 3 hours for the demolition work." And I looked at my fabulous plastic surgeon and said, "You got 3 hours for the front-end alignment. I want to be out of here in six." And I was gone. I was out of the hospital in 3 days and shopped for a bathing suit in five, and Massachusetts General Hospital said they'd never seen anybody recover that fast from mastectomy and reconstruction in 15 years. And it's now 12 years clean, 25 or 27 from the first bout of it.
Wow. So that story has some devastation in it and beauty all at the same time. And don't I love how you explained the part of, you know, how you go through your life education. And some people, you know, pop out and they're, you know, there and ready to go. And some people have to be bounced back and forth a little bit. And I relate to that because I went through that particular education. And I'm sure many people totally relate to that on a heartfelt level and relate to your story. You tell it in such a heartfelt way, but you have a little humor in there. And how are you able to do that?
Humor, well, one of my heroes, if you will, is Steve Behrman, who is also known as Swami Beyondananda. He tells some real serious home truths about the state of the world today, but he does it with laughter. When people are laughing, their shields lower, the information gets in. You sit down with me for a reading, you're going to laugh, but you will come out of there with tools. Because for me, life is not happy, happy, joy, joy, nor is it doom and gloom. Life is a roller coaster with no breaks, and we have our ups and we're downs and our hairpin turns. And the key is, here are my opportunities and how to grab them. Here are my challenges and how to get through them. Here's my toolbox. This is how I can go rock and roll.
I love that. One thing that you say is that, you know, an examined life is different from the Hallmark version of don't worry, be happy. So that goes right into that. So tell us a little bit more about that.
All right. I have to, you know, point to the secret. The secret says, think happy thoughts and you'll win the lottery and everything will be great. Well, it doesn't always work that way. But when you're living the examined life, even if situations look incredibly tough. You're in charge. It's not a pity party, and you're not a victim. You're a volunteer. Like I said, I was married to my husband for 18 months before all of this came down. How did I know we'd be able to stay together? Well, that was one of the fourth gifts that Spirit gave me, is I found out what a hero my husband was. He said, am I going to miss them? Hell yeah, they were gorgeous, but I married you, not them. And it has been work from 2004 to now. But we're going to be married 14 years in October, because we know that marriage is always a work in progress, and life is 60-60, not 50-50. Each partner gives a little bit more than halfway, so that in the tough times, that extra 10% overlap is that knot you can tie and hang on to. So don't expect that an examined life is going to make everything just delicious. No, it means that, like superheroes, you face something daunting, you're not going to wish it away, and you're not going to hide. You're going to stand there and say, okay, bring it. Because you know that whatever they throw at you, you will be able to handle.
Fantastic. Boy, that really brings it home, because I think, you know, a lot of us live in this, you know, belief, or that these teachings of, if you just don't worry, you be happy. If you just have this, you know, if you just have a good attitude, if you just say everything's going great, then realistically, everything is going great. And realistically, it's not. So living an examined life is where you look at the reality of your life, and you, within that reality, can still feel empowered. Can you, I'm sure people, a lot of people relate to this. Like, you know, you can imagine how many people can understand. They may not have had the struggle in the story that you have, but many of them understand that don't worry, be happy, and trying to just put on a shiny face for the world. How can we all take a bit bigger step to start living this examined life?
It does come down to happy in this way. One of the things that I learned at Option is life comes down to three questions. What are you unhappy about? Why are you unhappy about that? What do you think would happen if you stopped being unhappy about that? Because when people stop feeling put upon, it's not fair, then that clears their mind. For instance, what are you unhappy about? I'm unhappy that my child doesn't listen to me. Why are you unhappy about that? Because I feel like I'm not getting through and I'll never be able to teach him anything. What do you think would happen if you stopped being unhappy about that? Well, maybe I'd find another way to talk to them. And when somebody says to me, when I ask those questions, I don't know, I always say to them, if you had to guess, because people don't want to be wrong. But if you say, if you have to guess, 9 times out of 10, you're going to hear what they really wanted to say, because they don't feel like maybe I'll be wrong for saying it.
Those are some amazing questions. And boy, that really brings it all to a total truth, doesn't it? And it gives us the ability to look at it through different eyes and through a different way. So can you repeat those three questions again, just so everybody gets those?
Sure. And remember that the word unhappy can be changed with angry, depressed, upset, whatever. But what are you unhappy about? Why are you unhappy about that? What do you think would happen if you stopped being unhappy about that?
Those
and
are
if
powerful.
You're afraid to say, just ask yourself, if I had to guess.
Fantastic. Do you use those questions on yourself when you're going through something that you need to examine in a bigger way?
I used to, but now I simply go to the third question. What's going to happen if I stop being unhappy, scared, pissy about the situation? Because I've
absolutely
used it for over 30 years.
And you're able in that moment to really kind of shift yourself and change to a different attitude around it. Or explain to me a little bit about how that works for you and what we can, you know, personally get out of how you use that.
Okay. Number one, it doesn't always work for me. I ain't perfect, kiddo. And it may not always work for you. So don't use it as one more stick to beat yourself up with.
Good.
All right, let's take it this way. all right, I have a friend that very high maintenance, but I love them dearly. So what am I angry about? I'm feeling used. Why am I angry about that? Because I'm exhausted and I have a business where everybody comes to me for help. So I just don't even want to talk to them anymore because it's one more thing I can't handle. What do you think would happen if you stopped being angry at that person for that? I would let go of my need to be right. I would probably also have the courage to tell them what I think. Then the next question is, what do you think is going to happen when you tell them what you think? Well, I might lose them as a friend. How do you feel about that? Sad. Why do you feel sad about that? Because I've loved them for a long time. What do you think would happen if you weren't sad about that? I guess I'd be willing to let them live their life and I'd live mine. And if I have to bless them and release them, I will. How do you feel about that? A lot more comfortable. See, it's, questions are so important. Questions, as Barry Kaufman says, are not signs of doubt, but the ability to crystallize what we know. And I subscribe to the idea of being a Martian detective. Now, here's the key. If you had water coming out of your eyes, I might look at you and say, why are you crying? And I could be wrong. The Martian would look at you and go, Sandy, why is there water coming from your eyes? And the Martian would be right. Because maybe you have allergies, or maybe your contact lenses are bugging you, or maybe there's an emotional component. Because the Martian didn't think he knew what the cause was. He was open to absolutely anything. So that's one of the other things of living an examined life. Be the Martian. Ask the questions. Why are you doing this?
Absolutely.
What's up with this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when somebody lives that examined life or they ask themselves those questions, and, you know, you said it so perfectly, and that was, we're not all perfect. We're not always going to get this all the time. Don't beat ourselves up if we don't. But what would be the place that we would hopefully land from examining ourselves with these questions better and deeper?
We would stop beating ourselves up. We would learn to trust ourselves more. We would get out of the mental internal game playing we do. Our taking in other people's judgment on us will lessen. It's a massive amount. And your blood pressure goes down because you ain't going to be pissy about a lot of things. You'll just go, okay, thanks.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm all for all those things, and I am sure the listeners are too. We have quite a few different more things to talk about, but I noticed that quite a few people have called in. And what I'd like to do is just share this, is that if you would like to speak with Corby, what I would like to say is that what we'd like to know is that do you have a question that directly relates to helping you maybe examine your life more or a little bit about her life and what has happened with her. If you have a question for her, I'm going to check in with you right now, and let me just see if anybody would like to speak with her, and we'll give you a couple of minutes. We do have a short show, so I do say try to keep it a little bit short, and she will be able to support you and help you. Let's see who our first caller is. Hi, this is Cindy, and your name is?
Hi, my name is Wendy from Sacramento, California.
Hey, Miss Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Wendy.
Hi,
wonderful.
Everybody.
Do you have a question for Corby?
Yes, I had a panel interview at a major insurance company on Friday with three nice people, TJ, Vicky, and Angela. Will I get hired and will I keep the job for at least 5 years?
Okay. So
this is let me explain.
Corby, would you like to answer that, or were we wanting to look for
what I'm going
to
say is, Wendy, I'd love to work with you on that, but the point of today is not I'm Madam Hoo-Ha with the answers. That's my other job. Today is, if you had said, how do I keep myself calm while I'm waiting, that's more directed to the examined life. You see the difference? You're more than welcome to get in touch with me, and I'll be happy to help you with those questions. I used to be an executive recruiter. Business questions are my favorite. But today it's all about how you deal with things. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Perfect. Do you have Okay, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for calling in.
That is one of the situations, Cindy, people hear psychic and, oh, I want my answers. But one of the things
that I tell
people is, guys, you can do what I do. I'm not special. And one of the ways this examined life will help you is you'll ask a lot fewer questions of the psychic. Because the question here is, how will I feel about not getting the interview? How will I feel about not getting the job? If I do get fired, what's the best way to handle it? Those are the internal emotional questions that living the examined life helps with instead of, you know, when and how. And those are valid questions, but not for taking care of yourself, per se.
Right, right. Not for the examined life. Absolutely. I have one more person here. Let me see.
Sure.
Hi there, this is Cindy. Do you have a question for Corby today?
Well, actually, I was just listening, but I can come up with one since the previous caller, you know, the response to the previous caller, I am going through the possible loss of my home right now, and I am not working very much, although I want to be working much more.
Okay.
So this is all about root and security and stability. And
First of all, let me get your name again, please.
Oh, it's Allison.
Allison. Okay, Allison, I'm going to ask you the dirty question. How old are you, my darling?
59.
See, you're a puppy. I'm 61. It's all right. Now, at our age, especially in America, it's scary out there. We were promised, supposedly, the more comfortable retirement, more comfortable old age. But the truth of the matter is, today, especially if you're female, it is going to be much dicier than we imagined. So the key is for you, simplify down. Make sure
can I
that...
Can I say something? Wait, ma'am.
I want to
jump in real fast here because the track that you're on is totally not applicable to me at all. I have always lived a very, very sort of unstable vagabond type life.
Mm-hmm.
Simplify. I've moved many, many times with what I can get in my car. For years, I didn't even have a bed.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, having things is a learning process. Not having things is much more of where I normally live, you know, sort of as a rule.
Good way to
and my home, I just want to be clear that I probably moved about 55 times now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm not unfamiliar with it, but this is not my home. I've only been here a year. It's a rental, but I still poured a great amount of love into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really needed to jump in there because my life is not conventional. And
okay.
I've never had any of those kinds of things that most people have.
So what is the core question you want to ask me that will help you?
How to stay, not how to stay. I've done this routine so many times. But these are fundamental issues of survivability, of not having very much money, and needing a place to live in a town that has really,
town's not supportive is what I'm hearing. Is this correct?
No, the town is very supportive. My finance, it's a little more complicated. I guess I probably shouldn't try to explain it because then it just takes
up
a lot of time.
Yeah, it sounds like this is what I would call a pastoral counseling call. And we do have a lot of other listeners. But let me, if I may, use your situation to do a little bit of an education for the other people listening. You know, you can hang up and continue to listen if you want to. But none of these situations, whether it's being the consonant, simplistic, vagabond life or facing a future that is absolutely uncertain and we don't know what to do, no, they're not fun and I'm not going to be chirpy about it. But the key is, the examined life means you look at absolutely every alternative. One is not better than the other. You don't dwell on what has happened. You keep your face forward. What can I do now? And you are willing to change how you view things. I grew up in a suburb. You know, Daddy was a nice Jewish doctor, and I thought my life was going to be a certain way. I did not imagine myself living in a very, very tiny house in rural upstate New York, looking like this at 61, having the kind of checkered job record that I have, and having a life that is totally different from anything that my family understands. But as I went through it, instead of looking and saying, well, they don't love me because, or I don't have friends because, or I was supposed to be richer than this, I simply look at right at the present moment, what do I have? A friend of mine, an old friend, has chosen to live a vagabond life. She lives in New England in the summer and Georgia in the winter. She has her service dog, and she has her tent and her backpack and a few supplies. And she has decided that for her, not worrying about rent, not worrying about a job, living day to day on what some of us would consider the edge is perfect for her. And I'm not suggesting that for our last caller. But what I'm saying is because she thought completely, totally outside the box, truly examined her life and said, where is my happy, even if it doesn't look like anybody else's, she was able to take a terrifically difficult situation, turn it inside out, and is now completely, totally content, one of the most grateful and clear-eyed people that I know. So that's, you know, another extreme of living the examined life. No matter how bad it looks.
That's a beautiful story, Barbie. I think that, you know, the thing is that we sometimes believe that our life needs to be a certain way or it needs to look a certain way on the outside. And from what I'm understanding is living the examined life is finding what is your true path. Right?
That's right.
Where are you right at this moment, and what is your true path? Finding that and allowing yourself to be within that and to accept it.
You must, because you'll never be a success living somebody else's life. You just won't.
No, absolutely. So how can someone learn to live an examined life and work with you?
I love working with people. You guys are fun. I'm very lucky that I get to live in service. So the way people get in touch with me is they can go several places. They can go to my website, which is corbiemitlide.com, and for those who need to spell it, CORBIEMITLEID. You can book a reading with me there if you want, but there are also something like 150 articles that run the gamut of information. There's a lot on mindfulness, spiritual awakening, a lot of life stories. So I think that will be of help to them. My Facebook page is Fire Through Spirit, and I am always doing a weekly metaphysical blog that helps you think about things like clarity, adaptability, problems, focus, stress. So that's one way to do it. And if you have a burning question, I'm sometimes on Best Psychic Directory. I send people there. If the question is a five-minute question, don't book a half an hour with me because I'm fast. You won't need it. Go there.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So one of the beautiful things that you've offered us today is a special for our Sharpening Your Spirit listeners. And first I want to say to the listeners is that if you are finding yourself in a life where maybe you need to take a different shift, a different approach, Corby's teachings about the examined life could be exactly what you need to take that next step in your life to a, you know, greater, more loving heart is what I'm going to call it. So she has a special for us, and this is how it works. You get one of two things. She's very gracious to give us two beautiful things. One is if you book a regular session with her, which is a one-hour session, she will give you a free half-hour certificate, gift certificate, free, which you can use for yourself or you could pass on to somebody else. Also, if you book a half-hour session with her, so that's your first gift, which is book a session, a full session, and get a half-hour gift certificate. Or you can book a half-hour gift certificate, and she is coming out with this amazing series. And it is a book, and it's called God Does Laundry and Walks the Dog. And she will send you an exclusive preview of this forthcoming book. And you can get those through, Corby, will they contact you through your webpage, or do you want them to email you? What's the best way?
They should book on my webpage, but then make sure that they drop me a note saying, hi, I'm Tom Davidson. I just booked a session with you, but I heard you on Cindy Sharp. That way I look for your name, and I will immediately send you either the half-hour gift certificate, which is good after your reading, or the excerpt from the book, again, after your reading. That's the easiest way to do it.
Okay. Okay, easy, easy. So first off, I want to say that how blessed we are to be able to live the examined life with you for the last 30 minutes. And I thank you so very, very much for spreading your message and your gift of being able to talk in a very real way. And I want to say, as the host here of Sharpening Your Spirit, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that, because there is that tendency to do that woo-woo, life is all good and life is all great. But the reality is, that's not how we feel sometimes. And so bringing out this examined life gift, I'm going to say, to the listeners, I just want to thank you for that very much.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it was my pleasure. You know, as I've told you, Corby, we end our show with what we call the love-up round, and that is where I'm going to ask you three fast, quick questions, and you just answer whatever comes from your heart. And so my first question is, what is your favorite spiritual belief?
Oh, that's easy. You can't get it wrong. You can't. You're going to graduate successfully from this life no matter what, so stop worrying about the grade and enjoy the coursework.
Oh, how beautiful is that? Stop worrying about the grade and enjoy the coursework. So just enjoy every moment. Love that. One thing that you do, this is the next question, one thing that you do to keep yourself connected to spirit.
I remind myself daily how incredibly lucky I am to do the work I love that makes a difference in the world. I often say, I don't have to get up in the morning. I get to get up in the morning. But to do that, I have to remember, it's not me. As John Holland says, I'm just the tube it comes through.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm just the tube it comes through. I love that. I have not heard that one before. That makes me giggle. And, you know, you're all about giggling, so it's okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I love it. So your favorite idea to promote your spiritual business?
It doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're a healer or a reader like me or an inspirational speaker, whatever it is, whatever your message is, talk it, walk it, live it, love it. You don't have to sell others on something that looks so delicious that they instantly want some for themselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's a beautiful message. You know, a lot of the people that listen in here are spiritual entrepreneurs themselves, and they're looking for some guidance and there's some love in their lives. So I appreciate, because that is so simple. Talk it, walk it, live it, and love it. And what a beautiful way to end our show today. So again, Corby, I want to thank you so much again for coming here on the Sharpen Your Spirit radio show. And everybody, please, if you are seeing that in your life that you are maybe needing to examine things a little clearly to be able to step into a more bigger loving role, whatever that looks like or means to you, make sure that you contact Corby at her webpage. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's CorbieMitlead.com. You can book a session with her, a full session, and get a half an hour certificate free, or book a half an hour session with her and get her forthcoming book, an exclusive preview of God Does the Laundry and Walks the Dog, which I can't wait to grab that book, so I can't wait for it to come out. I'll just say that personally. That the name grabs me, let alone it's from you, Corby. So thank you again. Thank you, listeners, for listening in to the Sharpen Your Spirit radio show today. We send you off, as we always do, with love, light, and a big kiss, and we will see you next week, same place, same time. Lots of love.